You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
In business, you need more than banking. You need a partner that moves at your speed and understands your industry. At Absa Business Banking, we get it.
The Industrial Development Corporation, that is the IDC in South Africa, the PIC rather, we are looking at the Public Investment Corporation. They went through a research exercise and compiled quite an interesting survey sharing the PIC's perspectives around accelerating infrastructure development in Africa and how we get that done. I'm joined on the line by Senior Specialist for Africa at the Public Investment Corporation. That's Brenton Lalu, to take a look at their insights and what it is that they've uncovered. Brenton, lovely to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time. Let's perhaps start with an overview of the importance of African infrastructure development. I can imagine with the position that the PIC plays as, if I'm not mistaken, the largest asset manager in the public sphere, at least on the African continent, by assets under management, it's a significant thing to be looking at from a PIC perspective to say, what does Africa's infrastructure conversation look like and where does it go? Take us perhaps through some of the bottlenecks, some of the barriers, and just some of the hindrances that we're seeing play out that might be preventing infrastructure development from being where it should be.
Sure. So what really holding in Africa's infrastructure back, and it's not just about money, I think it's more about momentum. If you look at the report, we focus on nearly 80% of projects stall before they ever break ground. And the reason is because systems are backlogged with bottlenecks. There's regulation delays, meaning projects can take years to get approvals. There's feasibility studies that drag on or aren't bankable. If we look at land rights, they often disputed. If you look at procurement, they're slow and quite inconsistent. And many institutions simply don't have the technical capacity to plan, appraise, and manage large-scale projects at speed. I think there's also a lack of coordination between the players. If you look at ministries, between countries, and even financiers, that makes the regional projects like transport corridors or power pools much harder to deliver in Africa.
Brenton, so then how does a PIC, for example, navigate this? Because the PIC has a very important role as a DFI, that's a Development Finance Institute, within the ecosystem alongside other DFIs, to be able to fast track the financing, to be able to invest, to be able to take on the risk that others might not be able to. And some of the projects, honestly, only really the PIC can afford to finance. But if the PIC is seeing these bottlenecks as well, I can only imagine as an investment house, as an asset manager, if I was in your position, I'd say, okay, then we're not going to deploy the capital. That creates almost a barrier, if I think about it, to say, well, if there's so many blockages and bottlenecks that are being caused here, then our capital is going to get tied up, whereas it can be deployed somewhere else. So how then do you approach the conversation as a DFI and as an asset manager?
Sure. So I agree. Asset managers have a critical role to play in solving this puzzle. It is a puzzle. Why? I think because as asset managers, as a PIC, we're not just investors. We see ourselves as long-term partners. We manage capital that needs to be put to work responsible at scale and for impact as well. So we help structure deals, assess this, and ensure governance is strong from planning to delivery. But in a landscape where public budgets are stretched and bankable projects are quite few, asset managers can bridge that gap. They can work with DFIs, they can work with other pension funds. I think they can also work with the project sponsors to unlock capital and arguably, most importantly, confidence, investor confidence. We need to be stewards for institutional savings, bringing discipline, accountability, and clear-eyed focus on risk-adjusted returns with impact. That's without losing sight of the development goals of the continent. So I think in short, asset managers can help turn infrastructure from just an ambitious project into execution. And I think that's what's really needed in Africa right now is execution.
Brenton, something else that's needed in Africa is building almost fit-for-purpose solutions. We know very clearly that the challenges that Africa faces as a continent, as a developing continent, are not the same as some of the other continents that we have in the world. And therefore, when we build solutions that are supposed to benefit Africa, we should be building them to what we require and the spec that we require. How do we navigate that conversation, and how do we ensure that we're not just throwing out a solution and saying, well, there's the solution, and the solution makes no sense for what or for the context that we need it to?
Sure. So I think cut and paste solutions for Africa won't work. We can't keep applying global infrastructure magics that were built for, we need something that was built for our realities. We have to break away from the norm and the design solutions that actually fits our context in Africa. That either means having flexible financing for informal economies. It means project preparation that accounts for fragmented land ownership, or embracing local materials, local skills, and local knowledge. Africa building African infrastructure. So we need tools that work in low data environments, contexts that are reflect cross-border complexities that we have. And I think timelines that respect our local capacity issues, but don't compromise the ambition we have. I think Africa's infrastructure's future can't be imported with other models. It has to be designed for purpose from the ground up. Because I think if we want transformational results in Africa, we need to change our thinking, and we need transformational thinking and executional thinking within African infrastructure.
Brenton, that transformational thinking, before I let you go, as a parting thought, should we not be leveraging off of technology? I mean, the African continent is young. The African people have probably the youngest average age of any continent in the world, if I'm not wrong. And surely that means we are easily adaptable towards the changes. And technology has been one of those changes. Should we be leveraging that to accelerate our development and say, where we lack, we're going to leverage technology so that we can catch up quicker?
100%. So I think in the report, we've highlighted four pillars, and the pillars are policy and regulatory reform, innovative finance, pillar three, what we spoke about now, technology, and pillar four, capacity. All of those pillars need to work together. But coming back to technology, I think it's important for us to leverage these. So we've got aspects like digital tools, such as building information modeling used in engineering. There's geospatial analytics, Internet of Things, that can enhance transparency, reduce the inefficiencies, and improve project delivery. I think by scaling these tools, we require common data standard, regulatory support, and targeted digital training throughout. So it is possible to leverage tech and digital integration, but I think it's also important to have all these pillars that I've mentioned offer a coherent strategy to move the projects from just planning to execution, and from execution to actually impact the community that you're serving.
Execution is vital if we are to get the infrastructure development right on the African continent, but strategic execution is the order of the day. We'll leave this conversation on that note, Brenton. Thank you so much for those insights and for sharing the report with us. Brenton Lalu, Senior Sector Specialist for Africa at the Public Investment Corporation, sharing their perspectives around accelerating infrastructure development in the African continent.
In business, you need more than banking. You need deep sector expertise and personalized partnerships that take you further. At Absa Business Banking, we get it. In business, the pace doesn't slow when pressure hits. Whether you're plating up at peak hour, tables packed, orders piling, we've got to move faster, or racing to meet a deadline.
Truck held at the border.
Client needs answers.
You need more than banking. You need flexible funding, real-world tools, and sector expertise that shows up when it counts. At Absa Business Banking, we get it. Because your story matters. Absa is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.